Welcome to Sri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Sri and Kira.
Well, with a big hand on my heart, welcome, beloved angels. I am Kira Ra.
And I am Sri Ram Ka, and we are delighted to be with you right now.
You know, we really are, and here we are today live, Sunday, November 15th, and we're opening up with our hands on our heart and invite you to do the same. And hey, you know why. Our world changed over this weekend. Everything changed and everything shifted. And keeping our hand on our heart, taking in a deep breath, sends love and sends support not only to the people of Paris, but to the entire planet. And so we invite you to really take a nice, deep, calming breath to allow yourself to step into a more spacious, expanded experience as the world is becoming kind of, I'm going to use the word frenzy-oriented.
Frenzy indeed. And we're going to talk a little more about that throughout the show. But right now, I think it's important to recognize that whenever there is an incident of any significant kind, it sends a ripple of energy out. And people respond, react, and run. And that's really where we are, responding, reacting, and some are running. And it's important to recognize that all things go better with love.
You know, they really do. And I know that we could all, and I'm sure that you have, be talking about this for a very long time. I'm confident that every other show has been talking about this. We're going to choose to move forward with today's show. And here's why. Two things. Number one, it's important to recognize that when these things happen, even though, and this one was horrific, 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 the more we talk about it, the more we actually empower that type of energy in our own lives. And, you know, Sri and I are just kind of sitting here. In some ways, I'm going to use the word mystified, because if you've connected with on YouTube, and if you've not, go connect with at our YouTube channel, Official Sri and Kira. We actually talked that this was going to happen. We actually had said we don't ever make predictions that cause fear. But what we said was that there would be a media frenzy in the middle of this month. And the reason that we talked about the media frenzy is because, and right now, I don't know that I've ever seen more of a media frenzy than we're seeing right now. And if you allow the media frenzy to come into your life, it's going to take your joy, it's going to put you into an activistic mode, and it's going to sabotage how you're moving forward right now. And in some respects, that's how terrorism wins, right? It's an inner sabotage.
And so please take a breath and lift and recognize that everybody responds to events in the ways that are part of their repertoire, or perhaps they find a new response or a new feeling inside. And then there is the encouraged response. And this is where the media frenzy and the political frenzy actually may be somewhat shaping circumstances to suit a different agenda, is that the things that are focused on help steer consciousness.
So the key is, where is your consciousness going and where do you want it to go? Now, the other thing that Sri and I were just kind of mystified around was that last Friday, prior to anything that happened across the seas for us over in Paris, we had actually been strongly guided to put out a program to support people stepping out of activism and into passionate action. And we call it Unlocking Your Inner Radical, the Joy-Filled Abundance of Passionate Action. And, you know, we put out this telejourney. It's an amazing telejourney. It's three parts, and we put it out to happen in January. It's actually going to be a three-part telejourney, January 9, 16, and 23. And the reason being is because we absolutely have been given a lot more information. And by the time January comes, that's the time when it's going to be really important to have support. So we put this together. It's an incredibly powerful program, because 2016 is going to really burst forward, guys.
You know, we've been experiencing an escalation all year long of energies and events, earth changes, crises at all levels. And all I can say is we expect, or expect isn't the right word. No. We feel the flow that is supporting these events is going to continue for a while.
And unless we can all come together and invite our passionate action to replace activism, it's going to be challenging. And so what we need to do is awaken and champion the inner radical.
One who wants to make change,
exactly.
And do it from the place of the heart.
So if you want to learn more, we posted just a little article on that. What does it mean to champion your inner radical? And we've put a whole lot more information about this telejourney. And we've put it, it's $33, guys, and it's incredible. Go to SriandKira.com, and right on the homepage, you're going to see right there, right under Learning Events, it'll say, Unlock Your Inner Radical, the Joy-Filled Abundance of Passionate Action. And I know you might say, oh my God, Kira, you're talking about that right now? Yes, we are. Because how we move forward, how we respond, how humanity harnesses the energy through this incredible media frenzy is going to make the difference. And guys, things are going to keep heating up. This is just the beginning. So the question is, it's time to unlock that inner radical for that joy-filled abundance of passionate action. Go to SriandKira.com, click on it, read the article. And then I would invite you to join us in January, because it's a great month where we can come together every Saturday morning for 3 weeks for this incredible telejourney, and to really lift and support the next phase of the ascension.
And so here we are on this beautiful Sunday, gathered together, and we want to talk a little bit about today's show topic before we get to your calls.
Yeah, and you know, those lines, they might already be full. We might have a line open. I'm not sure. But remember, we are accepting your calls. And once those lines fill, if you call and get a busy signal, remember, as soon as we start taking callers, that's your time to call and get in the queue. And you get to listen to the show while you're on hold. Even more of a bonus.
You know, and we're looking forward to chatting with you. But before we do, let's just consider for a moment how right at the moment in our shared history, there seems to be this tension that is associated with dogma, that's associated with religious interpretation.
And I'd say tension might be an understatement.
Well, I've tried to be gentle with this, is there is a tension, and that's true. And the thing that we recently came back from India, and as you know, we were gone the month of October, and we were very drawn to the sacred sites there and the just incredible history that has accumulated around that country.
Now, one thing I want to just interject here, Sri, is the sacred sites we were called to visit are not the typical sacred sites. We were called to specifically go investigate the sites that are talked about in the Mahabharata and the Bhagavad Gita. Many of you may not know that I am a Gita scholar and that I have read just about every version out there. I'm in the middle of writing a version for the modern times. I have read not the little mini Mahabharatas. I have read the big ones more than once. And Sri and I felt that it was time to investigate the cosmic connections that these really sacred texts talk about.
Absolutely. And so let's just pause for a moment and step back. How many of you have heard of the work of Sitchin and
that's Zechariah Sitchin
and the scrolls that he's interpreted? And it's like I can see a number of you kind of going, yeah, heard of it.
Yep, okay. And if you haven't heard of it, go check it out. Fascinating stuff. Sadly, he's transitioned now, but he left a great body of work
behind. There's a legacy there. The reason I bring it up is that while he was looking at the Assyrian scrolls and archaeological remnants, the story that came forward was of cosmic visitors, and the gods laid down with the women of mankind and started interbreeding, intermixing. Now, I don't want to get into the whole thing there, other than this story of the gods that came and visited Earth is documented on those scrolls. It's alluded to in the Old Testament, and it's certainly let's just
graphically depict it.
it's aligned, and there's a great alignment in India and in the Hindu traditions. And so with that said, what we refer to in India is the blue starborn heritage. Now, consider for a moment that how many pictures and depictions that you have of Krishna, for example, being blue, and that Shiva, the blue-throated one, that this blue energy, this cosmic energy, found not only form, it created a legacy in the mythology of India. Anytime a story gets handed down from generation to generation, it becomes somewhat larger than life in different ways. And of course, that depends on who's telling and who's adding and who's subtracting. However, India has a rich, rich heritage of the aspects of the divine taking form and actually walking on the earth. So consider that for a moment.
Now, taking a breath with that, because let's not go to the, you know, sometimes these shows on TV are really staged, and they're designed to, let's just say, invoke certain feelings and emotions. So get rid of all of that, and let's just consider for a moment a depth of cosmic connection and heritage that could feel comfortable and part of our true heritage. You know, one of the things, Sri and I first wrote about the Blue Starborn in our book, 2012 Atlantean Revelations, and I will share that, you know, there's only one mistake we made with that book, and it was putting the word 2012 on it, because Atlantean Revelations is a very powerful book filled with the cosmological history of humanity. It reads like a novel. It has 12 lessons of light. And it really is quite amazing to us that when we were in India, we found a lot of the things we wrote about in that book. And I bring that up because when we allow ourselves, when we invite ourselves to answer some of those deeper questions, who are we? Where did we come from? Why do I always feel like I'm not from this planet? Or why do I feel like a foreigner or a stranger in a strange land? Why am I intuitive? And I'm asking all these questions, not with the eye for me, as if you're asking them of yourself. You know, the key is that we have a greater heritage than we have given ourselves credit for. And dogma has done its best to limit our remembrance, because if you remember your divine heritage, then how can you be controlled by the powers that be?
And so India is famous for its temples, and some people even think Hinduism is polytheistic, because there's so many deities and divine ones and statues. And in fact, that's not true.
As a matter of fact, most Hindus will really argue that one with you.
But the thing I want to share with you today is a little bit about the energy of Shiva, because Shiva is primary. Shiva has lots of statues and depictions. Mm-hmm. And Shiva's always shown with his symbolic adornments, from the trident to the cobra that's draped on his shoulders, to the Rudrashka seeds that are around his arms and neck. And there's just a lot of symbolic, beautiful tradition in the depictions. However, there's one depiction that is beyond this, that is truly, in my opinion, the essence of what is so.
And you know, Sri, I think before we tell people that, woo, or do you want to go there? I'm thinking maybe we should just let them sit with that for a moment and go, what depiction is that, Sri?
There is a depiction that carries the closest form of representation. And it has nothing to do with the statues that you may have seen.
And it has nothing to do with people, and it has nothing to do with this planet. And I think before we go there and reveal some of that,
all right,
maybe what we should do is go to some of these amazing callers and people that are requesting mini soul readings. And today I want to start with a beautiful being who sent us an email. You know, remember that you can always send us your questions to guest@shriandkiraradio.com. Again, that's guest@shriandkiraradio.com. And we got one that I really wanted to answer on air. And I'm going to start with this one today, and then we're going to go over to our phone lines. And so let me read this letter. It says, Dear Sri and Kira, I'm wondering if I could please have a mini soul reading from you. I would call into your radio show, but I am too shy. I've been going through the worst anxiety of my life lately. I haven't slept well in over a month, and I would appreciate knowing why I'm going through this and when will this be over for me. I love your radio shows and YouTube videos so much. And this is from Eddie. And Eddie, we love you too. And thank you, Angel, for sharing. Now, here's, Eddie, what I want to share with you. If you want to just bring your hand to your heart, and I also want to invite all of you, and part of the reason that we wanted to answer this letter on air is that how many of you else have been going through this, guys? How many of you listening right now have been going through this anxiety or maybe free-floating depression?
Or your dream time is
gotten interrupted?
Yep.
Interrupted. You know, Eddie, I got to share with you, I was going through it myself. I'm beginning to wonder when I could have a night where I might have more than 2 hours sleep. Here's what's happening. The planetary thought body has, and Sri and I talk about this in our November video extensively, if you want to go watch it again. Because the planetary thought body has been carrying the energy, the planetary thought of disruption, anger, and I'm just going to use the word war, because that's, and now the media is using that word war. If you are connected, then what's happening is that that energy field is coming in around you, and of course it's causing free-floating and or depression, and it's disrupting sleep. Now, having said that, for you, I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong, because you're not. What I am inviting you to look at is spending more time in divine communion so that you can pop through the planetary thought body and just not play there. Get outside of it. And this is a pop or drop. And this is part of why we're doing that class in January, because January 2016, guys, 2016, here's the first of our 2016 stuff. 2016 is a pop or drop moment for humanity. You're going to see a huge radical split in lift or drop. And so in order to do that, you need to be connected with the divine in whatever way that is for you. So Eddie, whatever practices you're doing that make you lift, do them more than once a day. You know, for me, I'll just share with you personally, there's a specific Shiva Om that I love that's a 9-minute long rendition that has video and it's dancing and it's uplifting. I think I listen to it 20 times a day. Sometimes I just have it playing in the background while I'm working. But it keeps me connected with the divine. Another thing that keeps me connected with the divine all day is the mantra of self-ascension. I am here. I am ready. I am open. Guide me. So the key is, during your waking hours, as Archangel Zadkiel so lovingly says, keep your eyes on the divine at all times. And the more that you can do that, the less you'll have that anxiety and or free-floating depression going on in your life. The next thing is water. Water, water, water. You need to drink as much water as you can. Get into water. Swim in water. Take a bath in water. When you're showering, feel it as crystalline showers of light coming in over you and really let that happen. The next is, before you go to sleep at night, take your hands, and I'm sharing this with all of you guys right now. It's a practice. So everybody who's listening right now, bring your hands in front of you, put them in what I call prayer position, rub them, just rub them, like build the energy, rub them, rub them, rub them, build the energy, build the energy, build the energy, build the energy. And as you build the energy, pump energy from your third eye into the center of your hands, pump that energy. And as you're pumping that energy into the center of your hands, the energy that you're pumping is the energy of peace and connection, peace and connection, peace and connection. Rub, 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 and bring those hands to your heart and breathe and feel peace and connection and bring that energy into you as you enter into your dream time, and you will discover that you will have a more nourishing rest. And so, Eddie, thank you for opening up this very important conversation today, because not only was it for you, my angel, it's for every single being tuning into this show, whether you're with us live right now or you're getting this in the archives. Use this practice, take advantage of this time, and be present. Namaste, my love. Thank you for writing in. And remember, you guys can write in too. Just simply send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com.
So a powerful practice indeed. You know, it is, sometimes we don't take the time to do the simple things, which are restorative. Mm-hmm. And this, what I'm referring to is taking that time out where we take the hand to heart, where we are doing a mantra or a practice, and we interrupt that which has become the flow into the recognition that that's the mini flow that's painted on a canvas of something much more infinite.
Well, you know, talking about flow, we're in the flow. We're going to take a live caller right now, and we're going to begin on line 4 with Nicole from South Carolina. Namaste, Nicole. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Am I on air?
We are here.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I am so thrilled to speak to you guys. It's such a refresher seeing you guys, you know, posting every month. And sorry, I'm a little nervous. My question is, I've been living in a lot of conflict has been kind of happening in my life at the moment. And, you know, one that has been happening for quite a while is expressing myself with my creativity to the world. That's been going on for a long time. And I guess one here recently that has been bothering me is me and my husband have been butting heads for quite a bit and et cetera. Just, you know, a lot of conflict that's been happening.
Well, first of all, I just want to honor you for calling in. I feel your heart, and you are such an amazingly beautiful being. So I want you to take in a nice deep breath and just kind of relax now that you've shared that. And let me share with you that as you were talking, it's interesting, you have two very powerful angelic guides that come in, and it's really interesting. It's left and right, and they're on either side of you, and they both keep saying the same thing. It is time to find the peace-filled center and to operate from there, and that this peace-filled center must be the priority in your life, that everything has to come into this peace-filled center. Now, they're showing you reaching out, holding the hands of your husband, and gazing into the eyes and inviting this conversation into a peace-filled center without words, just basically holding hands and gazing into the eyes. And they're saying, notice what you feel and only share what you feel as you're doing this. From there, everything else is going to unfold, and you're going to understand your next steps. You're at a very big turning point in your life right now, Nicole, and you're really resonating with the number 4. And the number 4 is always the 4 points of the diamond. It's also the energy that is the cross. You know, it's the universal, all of the, you know, the 4 directions. So for you right now, it's all encompassing, which means go into the center, stay in the center, and from there, everything else is going to resolve itself. And they're saying the next 4 weeks for you will be very, very profound. And so I'm really honored to have had this moment with you. And check it out. You called in on line 4. How's that for confirmation? So just, you know, give yourself. It is funny. So just take in a deep breath. And thank you so much for calling, Angel. Namaste.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Many blessings.
You know, I want to share that. There's so many of us that when we're on the cusp of a transition, it feels like there's conflict in our lives or confusion. And the conflict is a call for compassionate empowerment.
Indeed.
When we are seemingly in a conflict, remember, there's no conflict in the heavens.
There's so true.
You know, conflict is a uniquely human thing that's created from worldly preoccupations. It's created from the egoic personality. And that's our learning tool. That's what we're here to live through and to bring spirit into. And so whenever you feel that conflict, that's why I said compassionate empowerment. It's about having mercy on yourselves. It's about having mercy on each other and then taking an empowered transcendent stand, the positive step forward that does not amplify the drama. And so, beloved ones, we're going to take another call.
Yes, we are. And we're going to go to line number 1 right now.
Line 1 is Francois from British Columbia.
Well, namaste, beloved.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a 3-part question that I'm hoping you can help me with. I've felt the calling to write, and this year I decided that I would try writing my first fictional novel because it feels like it's part of my soul's path. And in this spring, the story was flowing. It was almost like I was in writing it. now that I'm approaching the mid-January deadline, it's a contest that I want to submit it to, I'm sabotaging myself. Uh-huh. So I'm wondering, how can I stop sabotaging myself? Am I kidding that this is myself, that this is part of my soul stat? And if it is, will I be able to meet the deadline? Because it's important for me that if I'm doing this, to meet that deadline.
Well, I am so grateful you asked, Angel. First of all, thank you for calling in. I just love connecting with you. You have such sweet, beautiful energy around you. Oh my God. There is a bright, and I mean bright, 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 white, beautiful ascended being standing behind you in a huge, like, white robe. And they're laughing, and they've just wrapped their arms around you. And if it's safe for you to close your eyes, I want you to feel them wrapping their arms around you. And they're whispering in your ear saying, beloved angel, trust us and move forward. And they're showing me you. It's like you're going to write this whole thing in a matter of, like, you're frenetically writing like a couple of nights. It's like the whole thing pours through you in just a couple of nights, and it like surprises you. It's almost like you're channeling it. And they're saying, but before that can happen, you need to sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and write at the top of the paper, what I am afraid of by finishing this book is, and let it all come out onto paper, and then burn it. You're going to laugh when you see what comes out. Don't judge yourself, but write it, write it, write it. Let it write until it's done. Let go of the perceived deadline. You're going to make your deadline just fine. And let go of that. Let that come through. And then, my angel, watch how fast this book gets written. Because here's the deal. The book's already written. They're showing it to me. It's already done. And so don't worry about the time. It's going to flow amazingly well. It will be very well received. And so have fun and just clear it out. Just go sit down and do this one little thing they've asked you to do. And I am so excited to hear about the finished product. So make sure you call us in January.
I will. Thank you so much again. You're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Angel. You're awesome, too. Namaste. Oh, Shree.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So exciting. You know, and I really want to talk more about today's topic. I think it's really important.
Absolutely. So, you know, where we left off was I was about to share a bit around the image of Shiva. And what I want to offer to you is that Shiva represents the supreme energy that affects life on earth. You know, the Hindu religion talks about Brahman as the ultimate. You know, Brahman is the Godhead. However, Shiva is the manifest energy of that. It's in the Christian tradition, you have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so Shiva is a little bit like the Holy Ghost in a sense. I don't want to get into a comparative thing here, but I just wanted to give you a context of how can you have these different entities? Well, they are all aspects of the one, but the pure Godhead is without form. The pure Godhead is infinite. And in order to interact with creation, there has to be some next step. And that's what Shiva represents, this next step.
Now, you know, a lot of people misunderstand this, and you're saying, well, God, Shree, and Carol, you're spending a lot of time talking about this. Well, let me share with you why. Some of you are probably familiar with what's called the Shiva Lingam. And there are so many people out there that think that this is just a representation of a phallus and a yoni. Well, that's a very densified interpretation of that. And here's the key. That the Shiva Linga is actually, and well, let me step back and I'll tell you a quick little story. And I'm just going to give you the short version of it, and then you can go look it up if you want to get the long version. But many, 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 many millennia ago, a seeker said to a priest artisan, I'm giving you a stone and please carve God for me. Please carve this energy. And he handed him a stone and he looked at him and said, I will leave the stone as it is, for how can one put a face or a form on creation? Hence, that was a form of Linga. Now, go back even further, and we're going to go all the way back to creation, Brahma and Vishnu, the manifest. So we're out there. And one day, Brahma and Vishnu are arguing, and they're really arguing with each other about, I am God. No, I am God. No, I am the prime God. No, I am the prime God. And all of a sudden, between the two of them, as they're arguing, a pillar of light came forward, a huge pillar of light. And they looked at each other and decided, okay, we need to know about this pillar of light. So Brahma went up and he went all the way up and he's trying to find the pillar of light. Vishnu's trying to find the bottom, and they're both flying and flying. Months and months and years go by and they're trying like crazy and trying like crazy. And finally, exhausted, they return to discuss what they found. Now, neither one of them had found anything. Vishnu honestly says to Brahma, well, I have not found anything. This pillar of light truly has no beginning and it has no end. Brahma, however, bold-faced lies and looks at Vishnu and says, aha, I am the divine because I found the top, and it even has flowers growing out of it. And he just lied and lied and lied because of the desire for power. At that moment, the manifest form of Shiva stepped through this beautiful pillar of light and manifested himself. Hence, the birth of the Shiva Ling. And anywhere that this manifest pillar of light came forward on the planet, it became this Shiva Ling energy. So from the perspective of density, from a third dimensional perspective, when you see a Shiva Linga, you might very well see what's meant to be a phallus and a yoni, and it's a symbolic form of creation, or it's just a rock. However, if you are in the ascended state of mind, what you're interacting with is a pillar of pure light that has no beginning and no end. And when properly recognized, will unfold and open the secrets of the divine. And that is exactly what happened to Sri and I, because part of what we wanted to do in India was to really dive into these cosmic connections and investigate, is there some truth to this? So we decided that part of our journey was to visit what's known as the Jyotirlingas. Now, there are 12 Jyotirlingas in India. And in each one of these Jyotirlingas, it is claimed that the reason they exist is because there was a documented appearance of a pillar of light that is now resting and basically contained itself into these stones. And so we were very, very blessed to go to some that they do not even open to people outside of the country. We were granted unprecedented access with our incredible, beautiful group. And in addition to that, we went to the city of Dwarka and then took a boat out to Bet Dwarka, where Krishna lived, and investigated that energy. Along with that, just kind of giving you tidbits of what happened, we also were very blessed to be in many different areas and investigating cosmic connections at the Ellora Caves, specifically at the Kailash Temple. So what did we find? We found a lot of fact behind what people consider to be the fiction.
And, you know, and one of the things I want to share with all honesty and sincerity is for decades, I had, or I still have, a wonderful affinity with crystals. However, in the earlier years, I sought crystals because they emitted energy. And that pure frequency that comes from a wonderfully enhanced quartz crystal, the ability of a Vogel cut crystal to cut through energetic congestions, and the crystal kingdom represented an epitome of energetic purity.
Sure, that pure pillar of light.
And when we went to the Jyotirlingas, which were the Shiva temples, these are not just the temples that were made in reverence. These were the temples that were built around the manifest energy, that where there was the miracle energy, then the temple came up. As we approached the inner sanctum, I felt the same energy. Now you have the frequency on Hawkins' scale that's above 700. It's in the immeasurable frequencies coming from a black rock.
Now take that in, guys, because remember, this black rock is encapsulating a pillar of infinite crystalline light. And so what are you approaching it with? What are the energies you're meeting it with?
And so so many spiritual pilgrims were in these wonderful, wonderful temples with all this 24 karat gold on the walls.
It was outrageous.
And the beauty and the reverence of the local priests. they were being bathed, they were being inspired, they were being touched by a frequency that could have all kinds of effects, from deep humility to triggering fantasies and memories and stories. However, the frequency is pure energy.
It's really incredible. And we have a lot more to share about that and more about what we discovered. But I think next we need to go back to our phone lines because I see they're full, and say hello to a few more amazing, beautiful people. So let's go to line two.
Line two, we're back in Canada. We're going to say hi to Lori.
Namaste, Lori.
Namaste. Great to talk to you guys. I'd love to have a mini soul reading, please.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you for asking. It's great to talk to you too, sweetheart. So I'm inviting you to just bring your hands to your heart and to just relax for a moment. And as you do, it's so funny that you're the next caller, because I see all around you this crystalline energy. It's like you're standing inside of a crystal, and the message that's coming through for you is very clear. And all I keep hearing is, like the many facets of a crystal, it is time for you to pick the one that makes you happiest. You've got a lot going on in front of you right now. However, it's important for you to remember that the most important thing that's going on in front of you right now is to remember that it's got to make you happy. And they're saying that other people may be affected. That's okay. Start with what makes you the happiest. You've got lots of facets to unfold right now, but pick the one that makes you the happiest. And it's interesting. They keep spinning you around inside of this crystal that's got all these faces. And it's like you're almost dizzy from all of this decision and stuff that's in front of you. But pick it based upon if it makes you happy. Let go of the mind trying to give you a how. Pick it, and it's all around you manifesting. You're also, it's very interesting, you're really resonating right now with the energy of one. And the energy of one is a very powerful energy, because it's the soul saying, I am here, I am ready to lead, let me, and if you trust me, the miracle will unfold. And so it is. I'm so glad I got to connect with you, Lori. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Angel. Namaste.
Namaste.
Boy, you know, I sit here and I feel the energy of each of these people and the guides that are speaking through Kira. And I found myself in these profound moments of pause. We are so connected, each and every one of us.
So true.
And the question is, where's your attention?
Yeah.
Are you spending your attention invested in your limiting beliefs? Because we all have them. Are you spending your attention invested in the outer world? Well, it'll always be there. Or can you learn to cultivate the space between the space, the breath between the breaths, and start feeling, sensing, and knowing the greater communion?
Indeed. And, you know, the greater communion is with our, bar none, the best listeners on the planet. And let's invite another beautiful being to join us, Sri.
Well, we're going to head to line three and say hi to Maureen from San Diego.
Namaste, Maureen. Welcome.
Oh, namaste. I am very gracious for all of your joy, your love, and your wisdom. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my love.
And I have a question. My year has been quite magical, and I actually reconnected with my beloved, and I wanted to get a reading on that, if you can. Thank you.
Well, I just have the biggest smile, and thank you so much for asking, Angel. I do, because it's funny, when you asked that, all I saw were smiles. It's like you have smiles all around you. This is, and the word they're giving is adventure, that this connection is an adventure, and let the adventure be as magical as you are willing to invite, and that the word around the two of you is magical. Let things be magical. Let them unfold magically. And they're also showing me dancing. It's this rhythmic, beautiful, not kind of slow, but rhythmic, beautiful, fluid dancing. And they're saying that the dance between the two of you is an adventure in and of itself. Let the dance be fluid. Let the dance be rhythmic. And let the dance take you where you are ready to go. And so it is. I am so grateful you called. Thank you for the gift of connecting. I'm still smiling.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so beautiful. We actually do salsa, so we dance together. Yes.
Yeah, I see. All I see is dancing, dancing, dancing. So I'm not surprised. Keep it up. Thank you, Angel.
Thank
Namaste.
You so much.
You're so Namaste. Welcome, sweetheart. Namaste. Well, let's take one more, Sri, before we get back to our amazing topic today.
Well, all right. We're going to head to line five, and we'll say hi to Erin from Calgary.
Namaste, Erin. First of all, just feel how much we love you. You are such a bright light. Like, I'm almost having to close my eyes right now because there's so much bright light around
but
you.
But when we close our eyes, it gets brighter.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, wow, are you a flame of light? Wow. And so as I connect with this incredible energy around you, it's so funny. They just keep saying, everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. And I'm like, I have tears strolling down my face. They're saying, Angel, when did you stop thinking we have heard you? That you have been heard and you are being responded to and everything is going to be fine. And I'm asking if there's more I should share with you. And they just keep smiling and saying, let her see how beautiful her life is ready to be. Everything is going to be fine. We love you, Erin. Thank you for calling, honey.
Oh, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Namaste, beloved.
Many blessings.
Well, you know, Sri, we have so much to share, and so let's share it.
Okay.
All right. And so last we were chatting about Hindu cosmology and the cosmic connections there.
So I just wanted, before we wrap up on the topic of Shiva, one of the things that I personally experienced, and this is very personal and precious to me, is that I am a being that has done a fair amount of spiritual traveling, and my early years were marked by seeking. And I was seeking through various religions. I was seeking through various teachings and tons of workshops and tons of private time and journaling and nature time and year after year. And the energy of seeking is ignited when one has the stir, that stirring inside, that there is more, that somehow or other I'm meant to be more, there's more to life. And I'm sure you can all relate to this. Now, that stirring is there to help you break through the illusion.
Exactly.
Break through the patterned consciousness. During all of my travels, I had not directly embraced or had the conscious experience of the Shiva energy. And when we got to these temples in India and I connected with that energy, I must say that tears spontaneously rippled down my cheeks, that my eyes were wet, my heart was exploding, and I realized that there is a deeper level of truth. There is a truth that underpins everything. All. And it sounds so silly to say that because everyone knows there's a truth that underpins all. And yet, to feel the conscious communion with the intelligent force of creation is an inspiring, humbling moment. And how we fall to our knees and who we decide to bow to is very personal. And there's a million, billion ways to do that. However, the felt experience of the divine embrace is quite personal, quite sacred. And I just want to share that for me, the Shiva temples unlocked a key that will forever shift my life. And no, I'm not a Hindu, yet I have immense respect for what has been brought forward on our planet. Through not only the tradition and the mythology of Hinduism, but the sincere preservation of the sacred. And so, beloved ones, each of us has our way, each of us has our path, and all paths do lead home eventually.
You know, indeed they do. And tying Sri's experience into today's topic about this cosmic, quote, mythology, fact or fiction, there is a blessing that comes when you have a profound revelatory experience. And a couple shows from now, we're going to talk about the single most profound experience we had in India. We're kind of building up to it because honestly, we're still processing it ourselves. And the people, the 22 incredible people that were with us, we're all still processing. Out of respect for all of us, it's why we're waiting to release that to the world. However, what we can share with you is that from our direct experience, we absolutely, in our heart, without doubt, know that these sacred texts, the Mahabharata, the ancient Vedas, that all talk about flying creatures, that talk about cosmic gods with huge astaras or cosmic weapons, that this was absolutely fact. And if you get some of the more educated Hindu priests to the side, and we were blessed to do that, they will talk about things freely and about the relics and things that have happened and how this is all true.
And this ties back a little bit to, we mentioned Zachariah Sitchin's work, is that within Hinduism, there is a tradition of recognition that cosmic beings visited the planet and brought forth not only energies, but teachings and wisdom to help guide, the evolving species. And yes, there were amazing technologies. And of course, as you consider the wonders of the world, everything from the pyramids to the some of the Aztec and Inca pyramids to the temples at Kailash in India, they're beyond human chisels.
You know, when you go to Ellora Caves, and we were very, very blessed to be at the Ellora Caves, and we had very profound experiences at the Ellora Caves. We had profound experiences in Cave 10. We had profound experiences in the Jain temples. However, when you go to the Kailash temple, and if you don't know anything about this, go Google Ellora Caves, Kailash temple, or go to YouTube. There's plenty of videos on it. What we discovered was that there is no way this was made by man. And here's one of the things that's so staggering when you're there in person. Some of the other temples very clearly were made by human hands. You can tell. You can even, there's even temples that they call the mini Kailash temple that were absolutely man. And we had very profound experiences in one of them. And I'll be talking about that on another show. However, when you walk into Kailasha and you realize this was carved from the top down with absolute to the centimeter precision, and that it was carved into a wall of solid rock, and you look at the way this was done, it's extraordinary. And one of the things hiding there, which we did not know, was if you venture all the way up to the top, and we did, we walked all the way steps up to the steps and went up to the top, we found a chamber that looked very, very dark. And we all took off our shoes and felt compelled to walk into this chamber. Well, as we were walking into this dark chamber, we noticed all the way in the back of the chamber that there was a priest there. And unbeknownst to us, was a Shiva lingam that was radiating so much light that it had called us into the inner sanctum. And when we walked in, even the priest stepped away because there was so much light radiating. And this was yet another confirmation of the sacred light. And of course, the laser light that obviously carved this temple.
And so, beloved ones, there is a richness and just an incredible opportunity to remember that we are participating in a intergalactic grand cosmic journey. And that, of course, there have been other beings. Of course, there are helpers and guides, not only in the rarefied dimensions that are traveling with you, and the history of Gaia.
And there's so much history that we want, our good minds always want to try and ignore it. But, you know, if you kind of relax into the sense of cosmic beings of benevolent nature being on our planet, interacting with us and setting the stage, it helps to really actually relax that inner sense of, why do I feel like I'm not from here? Because as you're awakening, your crystalline DNA is awakening right now. You know, that's one of the things we're so blessed here at Terra Nostra. And I hope one day you could all come visit us here. is that our water is filtered through 300 feet of crystals. And so even drinking the water here ignites our crystalline DNA even further. And so the more that you ignite your crystalline DNA, which you can do in so many different ways, the more that you can relax the mind that would want to question and invite the connection that opens up your cosmic heritage. Now, speaking of inviting the connection, let's try and squeeze in just one more caller, Sri.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to head to line 4 and say hi to Daniel from California.
Namaste, Daniel. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, beautiful souls.
Hi, Angel.
I was just wondering if I could get a mini soul reading.
Oh, it'd be our honor to offer that for you, sweetheart. You know, as I'm connecting with you today, and I'll share with you, it's really kind of beautiful. You've got a whole bunch of color going on around you right now, but the primary colors I'm seeing are red and orange, and they're beautiful. They're like a swirling ignited flame, and the message that's coming through this ignited flame for you right now is that you are safe, and that it's time for you to relax into the recognition that you are safe to be yourself, you are safe to expand, and that you are safe to move forward. That there is, I don't want to use the word hesitancy, but that's what it feels like. There's like a hesitancy issue going on in your root chakra, and it's time for you to relax into knowing that you are safe and that it's time for you to move forward without hesitation. And they're just giggling and laughing. And now I'm seeing all these beautiful beings just kind of like dancing all around you, and you're out by a campfire and you're happy and you're happy. And that's the message they want you to receive today, my angel. And I'm so grateful we could squeeze you in before the end of the show, that we could offer it to you. Thank you for calling, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thank you, angel. Namaste.
Much love. You know, here we are, and together we are unraveling not only the mysteries of life in one regard, meaning making peace with what is, but we're in the revelatory process of aligning up with our highest truth, our highest expression. And that highest expression, Kira and I like to refer to as passionate action.
And boy, is the world invoking passionate action right now. Oh my goodness.
And to unleash authentic compassion, empowered compassion, is to live from your soul's energy, to live from your highest wisdom, and to take action in this shared experience that we call life.
Indeed.
And we invite you to take a peek at the beautiful teleclass that we have created. It's at sriankira.com. And you can click on a link at the homepage and you'll discover Unlock Your Inner Radical, the joy-filled abundance of passionate action.
Now, again, we've really called forward this program because, beloved angels, you know, we're in the moment of the exploded crown energy through November and December. But come January 2016, huge moment for humanity. And it's going to be a moment where we want to come together and support each other. And that's why we put this program out there to start in January. And we would invite you to come join us. Give yourself this. You want a great Christmas gift. It's a great $33 gift. Give it to yourself. Give it to your friends and join us. And beloved angels, until we have the absolute honor and joy of joining you again next week right here,
may you bring your hand to your heart, take a deep breath, and trust that all is truly well.
We love you.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.